भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Canto 4 is titled Creation of the Fourth Order. And the Creation of the Fourth Order. Going into Chapter 17, Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. And we're into texts 10 and 11 today. Is that what's on the board? 10 and 11? Vayam Rajan Jatarena Vitapta Yatagnina Kotarastena Vrikshaha Tvam Adya Yataha Sharanam Sharanyam Yaha Sadito Vrittikaraha Patirnaha Tanno Bhavan Ihatu Ratave Nam Suddharditanam. Only one verse. Oh, okay. Electronic devices? Everyone's got the electronic devices? Yeah. Use it for Krishna now. Pull it out. Okay, so we can still chant the second verse? All right, we'll chant it. A few of them have it, okay. Tanno Bhavan Ihatu Ratave Nam Sudarditanam Naradeva Deva Yavana Nangsha Maha Ujjitorja Vartapatistvam Kila Lokaha Palaha Vayam Rajan Jatarena Bitapta Yatagnina Kotarastena Vrikshaha Tvamadya Yataha Sharanam Saranyam Yaha Sadito Vritti Karaha Patirnaha Tanno Bhavan Ihatu Ratave Nam Sudarditanam Naradeva Deva Yavanna Nangshya Maha Ujjitorja Vartapatistvam Kila Lokapalaha Vayam Rajan Jatarena Vitapta Yatagnina Kotarastena Vrikshaha Tvam Adya Yataha Sharanam Sharanyam Yaha Sadito Vritti Karaha Patirnaha Tanno Bhavan Ihatu Ratave Nam Sudarditanam Naradeva Deva Yavana Nangsha Maha Ujjitorja Vartapatistvam Kila Lokapalaha. Word for word translation. Vayam. We. Rajan. O King, Jatarena, by the fire of hunger, Abhitapta, very much aggrieved, Yata, just as
agnina
by the fire, kotarestena in the hollow of a tree, vrikshaha trees, tvam unto you, adya today, yataha we have come, sharanam shelter, sharanyam worth taking shelter of, yaha who, saditaha appointed, vrittikaraha one who gives employment, patihi master, naha our, tat therefore, naha to us, bhavan your majesty, ihatu please try, ratave to give, annam food grains, shuddha with hunger, arditanam suffering, naradeva deva O Supreme Master of all kings, yavatna lest nangshyamahe we will perish, ujjita being bereft of, urja food grains, varta of occupational engagements, pati bestower, tvam you, kila indeed, lokapalaha the protector of the citizens. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Dear King, I'll read first, then we do it responsibly. Dear King, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow of the trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of surrendered souls, and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but the incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food. Translation, let's do it responsively now. Dear King, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow of the trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of surrendered souls, and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but the incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food. Purport by Prabhupada. It is the duty of the king to see that everyone in the social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, is fully employed in the state. Just as it is the duty, Just as it is the duty of the Brahmanas to elect a proper king, it is the duty of the king to see that all the Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, are fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. It is here indicated that although the people were allowed to perform their duties, they were still unemployed. Although they were not lazy, they still could not produce sufficient food to satisfy their hunger. When the people are perplexed in this way, they should approach the head of government, and the president or king should take immediate action to mitigate the distress of the people. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dear King, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow of the trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of surrendered souls, and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but the incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food. Hare Krishna. Good to see all of you here. Many not here, I think many at the retreat. Yeah, the whole crowd is there. Good, very good. Okay. Alright, Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know, page by page, is all about leading to Krishna, glorification of Krishna, Lord Krishna. Yeah. And within these pages, there are many, many pastimes, many, many stories, many, many wonderful lessons, valuable lessons for not just for us to awaken our devotional service to Krishna, but to also understand values, qualities of personal development that we can apply in our normal day-to-day life. And in this context, in this section of Bhagavatam, where since Dhruva Maharaj actually perfected his life and went back to Godhead, since that pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, this section has been dealing with kings, has been dealing with Varnashrama Ashram set up, the social order. And we see there's been a couple of pastimes already where we have covered about King Anga, King Vena, and now we are into the pastime of King Prithu Maharaj. If we go back to, and in all these pastimes of the kings, we can see there's a close relationship between the role of the Brahmanas, the role of the Kshatriyas, and how they interrelate to each other, and how they interrelate to the social other social orders like the Vaishyas, the Sudras. And we can see this thread flowing throughout these whole pastimes. If we go back to the pastime of King Anga, well, even before King Anga, we have Dhruva Maharaj having left the planet, and then there was no king, and there was someone who needed to take the leadership. And Dhruva Maharaja's son, his first son was Utkala. Utkala didn't want to take up that position. Then it got passed to his younger brother, Vatsara. And from Vatsara, we have the lineage of King Anga. King Anga then was born. And King Anga was a very saintly king. He actually took advice from the Brahmanas at that time. Okay, so there was lots of close relationship. And the structure of social order of respecting the Brahmanas in their advisory role was maintained. And the king was ruling. So he took advice and he was performing sacrificial offerings. Like he performed Ashwamedha sacrifice. The brahmana set up everything, all the paraphernalia, everything was nicely set up. But the demigods who were supposed to come down to take the offerings, they didn't come. So King Anga was then puzzled as to why they didn't come. He had set up everything nicely. And the brahmanas again advised, well, yes, you are a saintly king. In this lifetime, not even in your mind, you have been thinking of being sinful. But in your previous lifetimes, you have been very sinful. Therefore, in the law of karma, you have to face what's coming. Can't escape law of karma. And he accepted that advice. And he said, okay, now what's next? So the brahmanas then further gave advice, all right, do a special sacrifice, a yagya, to actually get a son. So there was a special sacrifice done, taking the advice of the brahmanas. And who was born? King?
Vena.
Vena was born. Alright? Now Vena was a good king or a bad king? Yes, he was a bad king. He was very, very cruel. He would go out to the jungles and forests for no unnecessary reason. He would just kill animals. And he took pleasure in killing them. Not like, even remember the story of Mrigari the hunter? At least Mrigari the hunter, through Narada Muni's association, he became a devotee. But King Vena, there was no hope. He was happily killing. And he took pleasure in that. Not only that, he was killing his friends. You go out to play with him and then you don't come back home. Right? And so the brahmanas were worried here. And the father, King Anga, was also worried. What to do? I got a bad son. Okay. He tried reforming the son. Son didn't listen. And then father said, all right, good. In a way, this is Krishna's arrangement. I can detach from family life. And he goes off to the forest. And now the state, the government doesn't have a leader. There's no King Anga. So the brahmanas again step in. See the relationship that they have here. There's this thread, as I said, the brahmanas and the leaders. So the brahmanas step in again because they are always caring for the welfare of the citizens of the state. And it's like then they approach the mother of King Vena and say, all right, we got to install your son as the king. Bad king, but no other choice. So they took the chance. Tough decision. Brahmana said, all right, install the king. King Vena became king. And things got even worse after that. King Vena became so puffed up, and he even tried to put a stop to the service of the Brahmanas. He said, from now on, I'm God, no more service for all you Brahmanas. Right? So the state now became more godless. From a saintly king, King Anga, now the state became very godless. And when the state became godless, the rogues and thieves became more bold. They were running around happy, marauding, plundering, and taking whatever they want. There was no protection. No king who was actually protecting. So just like ants being caught on a piece of log which is burning on both ends. On one hand, they are the rogues, the thieves, they're plundering the lives of these citizens. And on the other hand, you've got an evil king. What to do? So here again, the brahmanas step in. In the advisory capacity, they discuss among themselves and they say, okay, let's go and advise him. They tried advising King Vena. And he said, you know, I'm actually God. You say Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, but no, I'm actually God. So from now on, no job for all of you. Don't do any sacrificial offerings, no yagyas in my whole kingdom. Stop it. Big trouble now. So the brahmanas, again, caring for the welfare of the citizens, what do? They make a very, very, very difficult decision. We have to kill the king. Right? And brahmanas at that time were very, very powerful. Just one word, whom they mentioned, and the mantra was so powerful, King Vena died. Right? Now again, another situation. The state, the government, has got no leader. Right? It was a bad king. But now, no bad king. Again, no leader at the top. Again, the rogues and the thieves now become happy. They run around plundering again. So again, problem for the Brahmanas. What to do? Okay, so then they discuss among themselves and they say, all right. Now King Vena's body was not destroyed or cremated. His body was still preserved by his mother Sunita because she was so aggrieved by the passing of the son. So she kept the body. So the Brahmanas went to the body and they vigorously rubbed the thighs of King Vena from the dead body's thighs. And from that exercise, from that activity, a personality came out from the body of King Vena. He was short, like a dwarf, very dark, dark as a crow, and he has big jaw, reddish eyes, copper-colored hair, and his name was Bahuka. He represented, he's a personification of all the evil and all the sinful reactions that King Vena had. All that came out. The Brahmanas removed all that. So now the dead body of King Vena was actually in a way purified. So now they then rubbed the arms of King Vena's body. And who came out? Who appeared? There were two personalities who appeared. Prithu Maharaj appeared and Archi, a female personality, appeared. And when they appeared, so they knew this was Prithu Maharaj. And who is Prithu Maharaj? Prithu Maharaj is Shaktiavesh Avatar, which means he is actually a partial representation of the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let's break that down. Plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead means is actually a complete portion. Plenary means complete, right? But he is a partial representation, meaning he appeared for a specific purpose at that time. So he appeared for the purpose of displaying the qualities of a king, a godly king. That's why he's a partial representation. That's why he's a Shaktiavesh Avatar. And King Anga was a saintly king. King Vena was an evil king. Now King Prithu is a godly king. The difference is, here he is actually putting Krishna in the center. And here now he is going to be fully guided by the Brahmanas, he is going to rule according to what God and the social orders require us to rule. So after appearing from the body, there was this coronation to take place, that there was a lot of gift giving to King Prithu. Lord Brahma and his consort Bharati, Lord Shiva and his consort Durga, Lord then the other demigods, like even Lord Vishnu and the other demigods like Kuvera, Vayu, Varuna, Indra, they all came with wonderful gifts. They were giving gifts to Prithu Maharaj. And this is part of the coronation ceremony. And the sages, the Brahmanas again, they started, they invited professionals, the Sutas, the Magadhas, the Mandis, meaning Sutas are professional offerer of praises. That's their job. They're professionals. They offer praises. Then the Magadha, they are like professional storytellers. They tell good stories, glorifying the king. Then the Mandis, they are the professional offerers of prayers, glorifying the king. So the Brahmanas arranged for all these personalities to come, and they were glorifying Prithu Maharaj. Then nicely, very humbly interrupted them and said, you're glorifying me all this, but all this actually haven't manifested in me. I haven't done anything to deserve this. Right? When I'm actually doing all these activities, these godly activities, then if you see those qualities in me, then you glorify me, be justified. But now I haven't done anything, why glorify me? That's his humble position. But the Brahmanas again recognize his position as a partial representation of the plenary portion of Krishna. They tell the professionals, to the professional reciters, to carry on glorifying him. And from there, now at the end of this coronation ceremony, comes the situation where the citizens, they are now appearing before King Prithu. And they are telling Prithu Maharaj, look at us, we are emaciated, no food. No food, we are very skinny, please, we are suffering from hunger. Okay, we are burning up in the hollow of our, just like a tree burning in the hollow of the trunk, gradually drying up. We are drying up, got no food. But why no food? He is a godly king. But remember, he just got coronated as a king. He is feeling the effects of the previous king. The previous king destroyed all the setup. The thieves, the rogues, the king Vena, all that were plundering. And now the citizens suffered. They are now asking for food. Food grains. And they are saying, my dear Lord, you are the protector of the surrendered souls. The duty of a king is to protect. First thing. Second is, the duty of a king is to engage every individual in the kingdom in their prescribed occupational duty, occupational engagement. That's why the Varnashram system comes in so importantly into the structure of society at that time, where we got the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras, the four Varnas, and we got the Ashrams. What are the four Ashrams? Yes, very good. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Sannyas and Vanaprastha. So those are the four ashrams. There was a perfect interrelationship between all these Varna and ashrams to create a balanced, harmonious set-up environment for the citizens in those Varnas and ashrams to actually focus on spiritual elevation, to be on the path of God consciousness, to seek God, Krishna Prem. So the duty of the Brahmanas and the king, who is the ruler, who is in the Kshatriya Varna, so they closely interrelate to harmoniously reciprocate advice and implementation. So the Brahmanas act as advisors and the kings act as rulers. They actually execute, they are administrators. So as I've related so far, we see that there has been many, many points where many, many decisions have been made. Many, many difficult decisions have been made. Leadership means making decisions and taking responsibility. We saw the Brahmanas, they were making decisions, very difficult decisions, having to kill kings and all that for the sake of protecting society. And they took responsibility when their decisions did not go their way. They made a mistake in installing King Vena, but then they took responsibility for that and they had to correct it for the sake of the citizens. And we see King Vena and King Prithu, they are King Vena showed leadership as to how it should not be. He showed all the leadership qualities that a leader should not have. King Vena is now going to show all the qualities of a leader that a leader should have. So leadership means making decisions and taking responsibility for the decisions. Next question is, who's a leader? Anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord is a leader. Everyone here sitting in this room is a leader. And those probably listening, they're also leaders. How is that so? Lord Chaitanya, he likened himself like a gardener who came to give mercy to all the conditioned jivas. So Lord Chaitanya likened himself to a gardener and said, I've got all these fruits. I have to distribute all these fruits. I've got only two pair of hands. Sorry, I've got only one pair of hands. Maybe actually it's got two. How do I distribute all this? I need help. But really, He is God, He can distribute all that Himself. But He is giving us the mercy to be engaged in devotional service to distribute that mercy throughout the universe. To start with, throughout society. So anyone who is in the process of preaching is a leader. And preaching means not just sitting like here and talking. Preaching means by example. Preaching means engaging in devotional service. Preaching means chanting. Because when you chant the holy name, as much as we get the mercy, the holy name is also vibrating to the extent that it is audible to reach out to all the microorganisms which are floating around us. They are also living entities. So through our leadership of chanting, they are also getting the benefit of the holy name. Don't think that when you are in a room chanting alone, nobody hears. You've got a role to actually chant nicely even when you're alone, so that the microorganisms floating in the air can actually get the benefit. In that sense, everyone is a leader. But leadership means, as I said earlier, making decisions, and decisions sometimes can go wrong and sometimes they can be painful. And we have to learn to take responsibility. But in Krishna consciousness, everybody wants to be good to each other. Nobody wants to hurt another person. Everybody wants to be, just say the nice thing, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Hare Prabhu. You know, they just glorify each other. But if you really want to display qualities of a leader, you have to, like, as I said, preach. Also be a sadhu. Sadhu means you have to be firm and fair and cut. The words that you speak need to cut through to the listener, so that the listener actually understands that it is going, what they are hearing is for their own good, to reconnect with Krishna, especially in the Hare Krishna movement. It's a fine balance being a leader in ISKCON. Very fine balance. You got to know when to actually be firm and fair, and you also need to know when you actually need to pull back to show care, love and care to the devotees. It's an art that only can come to us through the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas and Lord Krishna. And we are already receiving that because we are in the Hare Krishna movement, which is teaching us to show love and care, which is teaching us be like a sadhu, distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, we can understand for leadership to actually prevail, there has to be an environment which allows us to practice good leadership. There has to be harmony. Harmony among the varnas, the ashrams, as we have seen, the brahmanas have harmony with a good leader. Okay? And the citizens are looked after properly. Prithu Maharaj will then move forward in the next few verses to actually fix their problem. And Prabhupada says here in the verse where when there is harmony, when the individuals in society know that they got a good king, they would not feel afraid to approach the leader or the king. Like here in the purport, Prabhupada says, when the people are perplexed in this way, they should approach the head of government, and the president or king should take immediate action to mitigate the distress of the people. So here we are facing in this situation where the people are distressed. They are approaching a king, their leader. And the leader, first thing in part of leadership quality is to analyze or to identify the problem. So here, the problem is what? No food grains, correct? They are hungry. So a good leader, now he knows the problem, he has heard the problem. And a good leader needs to act on it. Now it's time for him to take decisions. So before he takes decisions, he's got to think through to find out what is causing the problem. And then in the next few verses, we will see where the problem is coming from. It relates to Mother Earth. Right? And Mother Earth is so important in the context of the harmony of the Varnas, the Ashrams, and how the material elements in this material universe relate to each other. We got earth, water, fire, air, ether, all harmonizing with human beings, society, living entities. And Mother Earth is so critical in the role of producing food grains. Not only that, not only is Mother Earth critical in that role, food grains are also critical in the role. Not just for the sake of satisfying physical hunger, but food grains and Mother Earth play an important role in the journey of the soul. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 3. Prabhupada actually explains in the purport there. In the heavenly planets, when a conditioned living entity actually exhausts the merit of all the punya, all the pious credits, that jiva, that soul has to come down. And that jiva actually comes down through raindrops, water, earth, water, fire, air, ether. All these elements play an important role. So the jiva comes down through water. The raindrops fall to earth. The jiva enters the earth. Through the earth, vegetation grows, vegetables grow. The jiva enters plant, vegetables, right? And the vegetables are consumed by human beings. And when it is consumed by the male, the soul actually takes its journey through the male's reproductive system and enters his sperm cells. And when there's union between male and female, these sperm cells, as we know, there are millions of sperm cells. Out of that millions, one fortunate jiva fertilizes the egg. Just ponder on that point, to meditate on that, how fortunate we are here seated today in the body of a human, having gone through even to that point of getting fertilized. And from there, then we know in Canto 3, we saw Lord Kapila explaining to Devahuti how the fetus actually grows within the womb of the mother. And birth comes. The jiva then takes birth as a human body. So you see the role that all these elements, together with the balance of varna and ashram, play a significant role in the journey of the soul. Then comes the relationship to each other. We are talking about all this relationship between varnas and ashram and no food grains. And we have talked about the harmony that is needed. Actually, just to digress, 1 minute. Past 2 days, I was in New Govardhan. New Govardhan in Moorvilemba, New South Wales. Who's been to that place? It's an ISKCON farm project. Who's been there? Hands up. Hi. Those who have not been there, go there. It's an amazing place where you can actually relate to what I'm saying here today in terms of harmony, balance, Krishna, God being present there. It's an ISKCON project. The farm is about 1,000 acres. Okay, and on that farm, we have got lots of development taking place in terms of, there's a temple there. Okay, amazing, beautiful deities. Temple and Radha Krishna temple. And then supporting that temple, we got a community of people living on that farm. And supporting that community, they got a strong leader, a Kshatriya leader, with a Vaishya mentality, who is actually leading the community, developing the farm projects, developing the land, engaging the people in their prescribed occupational duties, and taking advice from their Maharajas who are actually living there. Mukunda Maharaj, who was with Srila Prabhupada in the early days of ISKCON. He is actually based there. He acts as the advisor to a Kshatriya king there, who actually balances off all these engagement and activities on the farm. In addition to that, they also have a little bit of tourism, accommodation for guests. That's why I say everyone who wants to go there should go there. You've got a place to actually book and stay. I was there past couple of days. I had some service to do there. And I was fortunate to be put in one of the best little accommodation spots that they can provide. Why? Because it actually made me realize how harmonious we are, coexist with nature, Mother Earth. So picture this. They got wonderful little cabins, little huts, very nice comfortable huts. They're just like maybe about 5 meter or 6 meter. And then outside the hut, just as you open the door, there's a little veranda, and it's like situated on a hillock, a hill. And as you're looking down from outside that veranda, you see a wonderful body of lake. It's a bright and sunny day, cool breeze blowing, natural vegetation, green trees all around you, the sound of native birds chirping away in the trees, the body of water shimmering away under the sun, cool breeze blowing. You see cows grazing on the banks of the pond, the lake. I was just like standing there admiring the beauty. It's like so harmonious because it's an ISKCON project, and in that ISKCON project we put Krishna in the center. Everyone engaged in their respective varna and ashram on that farm is actually worshipping Krishna and doing devotional service to please Krishna. So go there. That's my advice to you. Right? When you go there, you'll actually feel Krishna's presence. So the harmony here is all about the relationship of the jiva with the Supreme. And the relationship is one of love. The conditioned jiva has a relationship of love with the Supreme King, Krishna. So this relationship of love is something that we have forgotten. And the Hare Krishna movement is trying to teach, give education to people at large. It is not just reserved for any secular group. This information, this knowledge is for everyone. Through Prabhupada's mercy, he opened up this treasure box for the whole world to take this education freely. And the Hare Krishna movement is giving this freely to everyone to awaken their dormant loving relationship with Krishna. We are spirit souls, we are not the body. It is that spirit soul which has got that loving relationship with Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is God. He is the Supreme Personality. He is King. And if you want to love someone, you have to first get to know the person, correct? You can't just say, I love Krishna, and you don't know anything about him. Even in the material environment, the material world, when a boy meets girl, a girl meets boy, they say, oh, I love you. In that journey of their so-called I love you, in fact, there is no real love in the material world to start with. There's only lust. But even in that perverted definition of the word love in the material world, when a boy or a girl say, I love you to each other, there would have been a lot of fact-finding before coming to the point to say, I love you. The boy would have gone to the girl's friend and say, what color is her favorite color? What movie or what song does she like? What activities actually does she like to do? All this fact-finding takes place. Similarly, the girl would do the same. What dress or what shirt or what trousers is he wearing? How's his hairstyle today? So there is a lot of fine details that these individuals in the material world want to first find out before they come to the point of saying, I love you. So on the spiritual realm, similarly, if we want to discover our dormant loving relationship with Krishna, we have to know Krishna. We have to know how he walks, how he talks, what he does, where he lives. Where does Krishna live? Goloka Vrindavan, which is in the spiritual sky. What's he doing?
Playing with his friends.
Yes, you're right. He is playing. Krishna's job in Goloka Vrindavan is to only enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. That is why the spiritual world has eternal happiness. Because God is always enjoying. And everyone else existing around God in the spiritual world is to churn the bliss of that enjoyment for him. He is all supreme. He is the cause of all causes, the Sarva Karana Karanam. Okay, he is Shaktiman. He is the resource, the reservoir of all energies. He's got three categories of energies: internal energy, Antaranga Shakti. He's got external energy, Bahiranga Shakti. He's got the marginal energy, Tatastha Shakti. And this internal energy, the Antaranga energy, can be further subdivided into Samvit Shakti, Sandini Shakti, and what's the third one? Ladini Shakti. Samvit Shakti is how Krishna is all-knowing. He knows everything through his Samvit Shakti. And through his Sandini Shakti, that's his existing Shakti. Through that Shakti, he is existing. The Ladini Shakti is pure bliss, condensed love, natural love, real love, which is embodied in the personality of Srimati Radharani. Krishna and Radharani are non-different. They are one and the same. Just like the sun and the sunshine cannot be independent of each other, like that Radha and Krishna are always together. That is why whichever ISKCON temple you go to where you see Radha and Krishna deities, you always see Radha and Krishna deities being together. They cannot be separated. Radha and Krishna are always together. And what is Radha Rani's topmost role? To give pleasure to Krishna. Prabhupada defines Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Krishna. And through their presence there in Goloka Vrindavan, where they are engaging in this natural, pure, unalloyed, condensed love in the form of bliss, they are establishing the constitutional relationship of the relationship with the Supreme. Radharani is the topmost devotee. She is actually showing how to love Krishna. And for Krishna to enjoy, as I said earlier, there has to be variety. So they expand to create the variety. Krishna expands into all the various expansions, the Chaturvyuha, and then we have the Vishnus, he expands. Similarly, Radharani also expands. She expands through her bodily expansions. We have the gopis, we have the Lakshmis, we have the queens of Dwaraka, Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, the gopis in Vrindavan. And all these, the Brajavasis, all these expansions are there to actually create this variegatedness to churn the relationship between Radha and Krishna. And Krishna is so merciful that he knows we are in the material world, to actually reveal this real love to us in the material world, he, Radharani and the associates came down. Before they came down, Krishna sent his dham, Vrindavan dham first. Where is Vrindavan dham in the material world? In India, right? You've been to Vrindavan? Good. So, it's a replica of the Goloka dham. Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world has come down. And the dham itself is alive. It's very, very alive. It's just not a body of land and that's it. It actually expands and contracts. Our acharyas say, you know, when Krishna is conducting his pastimes, 1 minute he's here, 1 minute is another corner of the dham. How does that happen? Yes, he's God, he can manifest and unmanifest wherever he likes. But to give service to the dham actually expands and contracts. So one moment he is in Nandagram, next moment he is in Vamshivad, ready for Rasalila. Quite a distance, correct? How does that happen? The dham contracts, he takes one step, expands, he is in Vamshivad. That's Krishna, and that's how he engages the relationship. He engages the dham in serving him. So he's come down, Radharani has come down, the associates have come down, and he engages in various wonderful pastimes to awaken, to give us the knowledge, to know that we also belong in that realm of having that loving relationship with him. And what does he do? How does he do his pastimes? See, in Vrindavan, when he's small, we just finished the Damodar mass, yeah? For 1 month, we were meditating on little Krishna. In Vrindavan, the mornings are the most favorite times for the cows and the gopas. Why? Because they're all getting ready to go to the fields, to the forest, to play, to graze the cows. And they're going to spend the whole day with Krishna. So early in the morning, even before Krishna wakes up, the gopas get up very excitedly. They tell their parents to quickly get them ready, put on their gear for running to the forest and all that. Before even going to the forest, they run to Krishna's house. They run to Krishna's house and they see that Mother Yashoda is dressing up little Krishna. And little Krishna, when he sees his friends, he's so, so excited, he can't stand still. And Mother Yashoda has a tough time trying to dress him. Stand still, Krishna is like, he's playing with his friends here, taking his flute and poking them that way, and they are like laughing. This is even before going to the forest, in the house. Alright? And then they get ready, their breakfast is all ready. Each of them, all the gopas, they are walking out to the forest. The cows are all happy. Whole day in the forest. And out there in the forest, they harmonize with Mother Earth. They take the minerals from Mother Earth. They paint little dots and colors on their bodies and all that. They swim in the rivers. They're running through the meadows of the green meadows of Vrindavan forest. The cows are eating. They give unlimited supply of milk because they are so in harmony and enjoying that relationship with Krishna. Everything is about Krishna. The whole day goes like that, and in between he has pastimes with the gopis. He's going to disturb Radharani and the gopis. And then he kills a few demons here and there before lunch. They have lunch. The boys, the gopas all sit around and Krishna's in the center. Everyone thinks that Krishna is only giving him special, specific attention, only that soul attention. Okay, they give him buttermilk. They tease him. And he drinks buttermilk and his mouth is puffed up with the buttermilk in the mouth, in the cheeks. Then one gopa will sneak up behind him and just punch both his cheeks and all the buttermilk spurts out. They all have a good laugh. They tease him, they trick him, they say, Krishna, this is very sweet. They give him something very bitter actually. Something very bitter, they just want to tease him, they put it in his mouth. Krishna, very sweet, try this. Krishna eats it, then so bitter. They all have a good laugh. They wrestle together. Madhu Mangal, the Brahmin boy. Okay, they're all wrestling and they win. Madhu Mangal wins and he says, Krishna, don't think you're God, don't think you're great. I'm a Brahmana. We have defeated you in wrestling. So which means our power is stronger than you. So if you want our power, our Brahma Tejas, then give me some laddus. This is the kind of relationship. And in the evenings when they're coming back, even the journey coming back from the forest back to Vrindavan village is so, so blissful, in the sense that their pathway where the cows are all walking, they got hundreds and thousands, millions of cows. Nanda Maharaj himself has got 900,000 cows. Right? As they are walking back, the cows are all walking in front. And these Gopas and Krishna are walking behind the cows. And along the pathway, on the way back to the village, great, great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they are there by the side, worshipping Krishna, doing arati, welcoming him back. And the Gopas, they see all this. They see this person with forehead, and they see Lord Shiva with all his attire. He's got this snake and water, Ganga, coming from his head. He's got the third eye. And they're like seeing all this. But they're not focused on these personalities. They're focused on Krishna. As they're walking back, they're still playing with him. They're not walking in a straight line. They're not tired. And as they're walking back, meanwhile, in the village, in Vrindavan village, there is mounting excitement for the Brajabasis. They are expecting Krishna to come back home. They are looking out to the horizon, the pathway, looking for telltale signs that Krishna is near. Mother Yashoda is walking in and out of her house. She is pacing up and down, coming to the doorway, looking out. Is Krishna on his way back yet? Nanda Maharaj is on the rooftop of his house, higher vantage point, just leaning all over, trying to find out any telltale signs of Krishna coming back yet in the evenings. The Brajabasis are all waiting for, not their sons, waiting for Krishna. And the sign, the first sign of evidence that Krishna is coming back is visible. What is the first sign? The dust. Goduli. Yeah? The dust from the hoofs of the cows. It creates this magical, misty cloud of dust. And in that cloud comes this shimmering personality, Krishna. He himself is so effulgent and is walking through the cloud of dust. He's got these specks of Chintamani Vrindavan, specks of dust on his body. And they're like twinkling away. It's a magical scene. Krishna is coming back in that way. This is what we are missing. We chose to leave Krishna. We are in the material world. This is what Krishna is revealing real love is all about. But through the mercy of Prabhupada, our acharyas, our spiritual masters, we have now got access to this knowledge. We have now got access to all these wonderful pastimes to hear, to actually speak about it. Okay? Why? To awaken this relationship that we have forgotten with Krishna. To try and reconnect. And if you see the personalities on our altar here, they actually, as much as they are Archa Vigraha forms, but if you look deeper, they are actually displaying the relationship of Krishna and the Jivas. There is a constitutional relationship which cannot be broken between Krishna and the Jivas. We spoke about how Radharani is the topmost devotee and how she serves Krishna. So Krishna is one, he expanded, and through his bliss potency, Ladini Shakti, Radharani manifested. Then the two of them displayed all these wonderful pastimes about four and a half thousand years ago in Vrindavan on earth. 532 years ago, the two of them again came back as one in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came in the mood of Radharani, but he is Krishna, he is God. Again, through him, we see how a devotee should be longing for God, to have that love of God. He displays that Vipralamba Bhav to actually practice how, he shows us how to practice to be a devotee. And interestingly, the connection to Jagannath Baladev Subhadra of Krishna and the Jiva is, firstly, we have to understand why Jagannath Baladev Subhadra look like how they look. The form that they have taken is their form of ecstasy. They are in a very ecstatic form. Okay, this goes back to the pastime in, I think, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a place called Shamanta Panchak, Kurukshetra, solar eclipse time. The residents of Vrindavan and the residents of Dwaraka, Krishna was at that time a king of Dwaraka, they met there, that place of holy pilgrimage. And it was a very intense, very moving situation, because the residents of Vrindavan saw Krishna in the mood of a king, in that awe and reverence mood. But that's not the mood that they enjoy with him in Vrindavan. So they were missing that Krishna in Vrindavan, and here they are seeing him in awe and reverence. Hard, they can't relate to that. And they were relating all their pastimes, and the residents of Dwaraka wanted to hear more about all these pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Mother Rohini then says, all right, I'll relate on one condition, because Subhadra Devi was there. She said, Subhadra, you can't hear this. Okay? Because you'll become too ecstatic. You go outside this room, lock the door, and you wait outside. Why I want you to wait outside? When Krishna and Balaram come, you don't let them come in, because they too will become very ecstatic. You keep them outside there. So she starts relating the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And fair enough, Krishna and Balaram come and see Subhadra actually outside the door. And they too start listening. All three, they can't help it. They within earshot, as they're listening, they get ecstatic symptoms. The pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan are so sweet that Krishna himself is affected by it. So in that ecstasy, their hands become shorter, their legs become shorter, their body gets stunted, their eyes become big, and that's the form of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra that we have. But the Radha Yatra is a very unique event, not just because Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra are going on the journey. The Radha Yatra is actually Krishna being pulled back to Vrindavan. Right? So we have Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra on the Rath cards, symbolizing the journey back to Vrindavan. And they are in the Vipralamba mood. Okay, in the Vipralamba Bhav, in separation, feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan. But because they are in Vaikuntha Bhav, they are in awe and reverence, it's very opulent. Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, they are actually like in the mood of Kshatriyas, in the Varna of Kshatriyas. That's why when we have our Snana Yatra on that festival day, when we have our afternoon arati, you see them wearing all those golden, who has seen them? They've got all their arms. They got their various weapons in their arms. That is to show that they are in their Kshatriya mood. Right? So, they are on their chariot. Krishna, Lord Jagannath is Krishna, being pulled back, feeling the separation, going back to Vrindavan. And on the ground, who's dancing in front of them? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya is on the ground in the mood of a devotee, feeling separation from the Lord who is on the car. So we have Krishna, God, on the car, feeling separation from his devotees, being pulled back to Vrindavan. We have Krishna, God, on the ground, in the mood of a devotee, feeling separation from his Lord, dancing in front of him. I can talk more. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Time's up. Questions? Comments? So, we have forgotten our relationship. This is a short life. The human body is very rare, as I've mentioned. We do not know how long we're going to live. By Guru's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, we are here today. So, take advantage of this, be serious. And we just finished Damodar Mass. And in that pastime, we know Mother Yashoda was trying to tie up little Damodar, correct? But the rope was always short, correct? Two fingers too short, always, right? Two fingers represent what? Endeavor and? Krishna's causeless mercy. Okay? It's like our Acharya say, it's like the Markat Nyaya and Marjana Nyaya. Markat Nyaya is monkey logic. Monkey logic is similar to the endeavor that we put in. Those who have seen monkeys holding little babies, in fact, the little baby is clinging on to the body of the mother, correct? Either piggyback or the underside. The baby is clinging on. That's endeavor. Okay? Not wanting to let go. That is endeavor. We have to cling on to the lotus feet of our Guru, Srila Prabhupada, in our endeavor. Never let go. And then we have Marjana Nyaya, which is the logic of the cat. Marjana means cat. Cat means like, we have seen the cat carrying the kitten, right? The kitten is dangling helplessly. The mother very gently, in the same jaws that she uses to kill the rat, that strong powerful jaw, here very softly she is holding on to her kitten to safely comfort and carry the kitten. So that is causeless mercy. That represents causeless mercy. We just got to dangle like that. By doing our endeavors, we just dangle like that and beg for the causeless mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.